Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. My producer is Bob Dio. Bob, engineering and producing on the other side of the glass. And together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, February 7th, 2019. You're listening to 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. We've got our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. All of our podcasts available 24/7 for you at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number anytime during the hour, if you'd like to join us, 790-2040. Keith Rosenblum is on the live line. Keith is the Buckmaster Show contributor on Mexico. He has a long reporting history covering the U.S.-Mexico border. Keith, how are you?
Bill, good afternoon. I'm doing very well, thank you.
The city of Nogales passing a resolution last night condemning the installation of the new razor wire. In some cases, we're talking about 6 to 8 rows of it along the wall that really covers the entirety of the tall border wall through downtown Nogales. The city council wants the federal government to remove all of that razor wire installed within the city limits. Otherwise, the mayor of the city of Nogales, Arturo Garrido, says the city will sue. What's your take on this, Keith Rosenblum?
Keith Rosenblum is a little bit more drastic in the way that he would like to see it. And I'd like to see Art Garino, who's a very decent guy. This is his second term as mayor. And I heard the same interviews with him and heard about the council's action. I'd like to see Art Garino requisition one of his those trucks, those cherry picker trucks that are used to change light bulbs and, you know, hoist people up to do work at high altitudes. Mm-hmm. And himself make a statement and just go cut it down himself. He would probably, in a world of photo ops, in a world of militancy, it would be far more powerful than his words and the resolution of the city of Nogales, Arizona, which is a cowardly group generally anyway. It's a divided group that I've never had much admiration for anything that came out of Nogales, Arizona. But at least they can get together on something like this. So, to me, if Art wants to make a statement, go cut it down himself, whatever it would be. I guess it would be some kind of misdemeanor or low felony that would be involved in cutting down CVC wire. I'm not sure what it would be. Why not just go make your statement that way? That would be a lot more dramatic if that's really what you care about. Let me backtrack. This morning at 8, I have a 7th grader at Vail Junior High School, and I don't know why he was doing it, but he was watching Escapes from East Germany into the West. Uh-huh. And we were talking a little bit about this, and I was saying, you know, one day maybe the people will resume our role as governing the people that are governing us. And we were watching pictures first from the 50s and the early 60s of people trying to escape and being shot or getting tangled up, tunneling, all sorts of things that desperate people do. And then I was telling Brennan how nobody ever believed that the wall would fall until 1989 when it fell and people took things into their own hands. And it wouldn't surprise me. I wonder whether that's lost on us as a people, that we tend to be, we're such sheep that we've lost what would be a mass reaction on either side. One day you put that wire up, and one day a lot of Mexicans show up and, you know, knock over your fence or your wall, or one day Americans tire of being of what is really a barbarous, an unnecessary policy, which is what is happening right now in Nogales and maybe happening along the entire border, and say, you know what, this isn't who we are. I'm sure we'll keep some people from coming into the U.S. this way. But is that the cost? I mean, I could, in my family, as long as we're on the topic of family, I could have a no-drug policy, and if any of my kids ever experimented with marijuana, I could give them up for adoption, or I could banish them, or I could just beat them. Mm-hmm. Or I could take an approach that might be a little bit more humane and listen to what it was that prompted them or pushed them into wanting to experiment with drugs. So, yeah, I mean, there's no question. If we're going to have zero tolerance, we can have, and we a lot of times have zero tolerance policies on drugs coming into the U.S. And you know what that does, Bill?
What?
That makes your wait to come into the U.S. a 2.5-hour or a 3-hour wait because they've got all those mirrors and they put you through this remarkable interrogation instead of the half hour that it might take you otherwise, or the 15 minutes that you otherwise. So if you want to apply these drastic solutions to issues, there's no question we can solve problems with cost. But anyone that is not even to take an economics class, even if you haven't taken an economics class, you understand the definition of opportunity cost. The opportunity cost is you just made your crossing a six-hour crossing today to get to and from somewhere, as opposed to maybe allowing for a little bit of drugs coming into the U.S., and now your crossing was 15 minutes or half an hour. We tend as Americans to decide we're going to solve things in quick ways that appear to be demonstrably brilliant, and then a little bit down the road, we realize it wasn't quite so brilliant. So anyway, first we got a wall that people will tunnel through, they'll bore through, they'll go over. Razor wire, this is concentration camp or it's kind of a gulag type of approach to this. Is this really what the best people we want to send in? Is this who we are? If that's who we are, that's okay. Then let's go ahead and do it, and let's tell Art Garino not only accept six levels of that wire, but why not put in 12 or more? And they might not have borrow the model from the East Germans and have armed towers along the way as well. They're just questions. Once you take the step to arm yourself or to protect yourself this way, it becomes very easy to build on that. And then you wonder one day, as you're just thinking about it, did we really need to take that original step in the first place?
Well, the opinions of Keith Rosenbloom, who is the Buckmaster Show contributor on the border, giving his take on all of the razor wire along the border in Nogales, city of Nogales. 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk, the name of the program, Buckmaster. So what this declaration to the federal government and this threat to sue, it's not going to go anywhere, is it, Keith?
Nope, it's a feel good. This way, everybody on the city council and everyone in Nogales can just say we've done what we can, and it's feel good. And the idea of a lawsuit, I assume, is through Luis Parra, who's the city attorney of Nogales. It'll take forever. It's actually, I think that Luis's time should be spent on Nogales local issues. Anyhow, they got enough local things to worry about. Nogales hasn't grown for years while Rio Rico and the surrounding areas have prospered. It has its own issues. Do you really want to use what little capital you have and what time you have to carry out a largely symbolic act? Again, it would mean a lot more that these guys would learn from the photo op experts in the Congress and everywhere else and go make a statement at the port of entry, ban maybe get Jesus Puyol and some people from the Nogales City Council in Nogales, Mexico, and borrow a chapter from our civil rights thing and walk, you know, or hold hands through the fence or something like that. Really, a resolution? I can just see people shuddering at that in Phoenix and D.C.
Yeah,
and everywhere
else.
It's
not going anywhere. I'll tell you, the image, the optics of the 6 to 8 rows of razor wire, that image going, of course, around the world, I don't know. All quiet on the Western Front, I guess, is the kind of the image from the city of Nogales.
Just go watch. Just have at YouTube, if you just put in Escape Berlin, those two words, you can watch stunning examples of what people do to pursue ideology or to pursue freedom. And right now, this makes no difference whatsoever. I mean, basically, we're going to stem, keep a dozen or two dozen or 3 dozen people from coming into the U.S. that otherwise might have come some other method. Those are the numbers. We're talking about a really insignificant amount of people. One day, if the economy of the U.S. becomes so much better and Mexico's so much worse, or in reverse, one day ours becomes so horribly, you know, we go into a recession and Latin America all of a sudden starts to boom, you wait to see what people would do with your with that wire and with that fence. They'll take those political solutions that we had in 2019 and take care of them in about half an hour.
All right, about 1 minute to go. What's the business implication for the city of Nogales and actually for Tucson? Are Mexicans going to be coming
None
up
whatsoever.
Here to shop?
Yeah, none whatsoever. I think we'll just be aghast. It'll just be like one more odd thing, kind of a macabre or a ghastly thing that you look at, what do you call rubbernecking type of thing?
Right.
But it makes no difference whatsoever. People will follow the the relationships cross border between Tucson and Mexico are so strong that this is not even a hiccup. It doesn't make any difference whatsoever. One day the Mexicans may unite and carry out some kind of Selma type of boycott at us for our arrogance or the way that we handle things, but that isn't happening now, and who knows if it ever will. But to answer your question, no difference whatsoever.
Economies are
both strong.
Keith Rosenblum, thank you very much for sharing some of your thoughts. Appreciate it. Thanks, Keith.
My pleasure.
Keith Rosenblum on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. I'm Bill Buckmaster. My favorite bakery in town is Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. How about lunch right now? How about a great hot sandwich up at Mona's on some of that great bread that came out of the oven just a couple of hours ago? Steve and the team of bakers get up so early in the morning to make sure that your breakfast and all of your breads for your lunch will be in great shape. And why not a brownie or a chocolate chip cookie for dessert? Open for lunch at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, monasdanishbakery.com, and at buckmastershow.com, where there's a link to all of the great sponsors that make the Buckmaster Show possible on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be right back with renowned comet discoverer Dr. David Levy. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park on their 13-acre site, not only home to all of that great plants and all sorts of gardening supplies, now home to Zocalo Village and all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village. Green Things open every day on that beautiful 13-acre site at 3384 East River Road. It's time to welcome the Buckmaster contributor on space. That's Dr. David Levy. Dr. Levy is the former science editor of Parade Magazine. He's now head of and founder of the Sharing the Sky Science Educational Organization. David Levy is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. He's discovered 23 comets, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker-Levy 9, the comet that collided with Jupiter in 1994, producing the most spectacular explosions ever witnessed in the solar system. He's an Emmy Award-winning writer. Dr. Levy's the author or editor of 35 books or other products and other products. Dr. Levy, how are you, sir?
Well, is this Dr. Buckmaster, star of stage and screen?
How you doing, my friend?
Oh, I'm pretty good. Wendy's doing well, and I'm doing fine, and we're just getting ready for a visit from Wendy's sister.
Oh, very nice. Coming in from Albuquerque?
Yes. No, she's coming in from New York.
Oh, okay.
The frigid Northeast.
How did the government shutdown affect your world of astronomy?
It didn't affect what I'm doing at all, but it affected a lot of my friends. And I have one who, coincidentally, is a TSA screener who I happened to meet while I was coming home from a lecture. And we started to talk about astronomy. And then after, it was so interesting, and I introduced myself to him afterwards, and he looked at me, shook my hand, and he said, "I've been wanting to meet you my entire life."
Wow.
and then he had me arrested, and I've been in prison ever since. No, but I've written him a couple of times during the course of the shutdown. And I hope to heck that it doesn't happen again.
Well, astronomy didn't shut down, as far as you're concerned, at your Vail, Arizona astronomy observing point.
No, it didn't. In fact, there is a comet in the sky now, Iwamoto, which is supposed to be bright enough to be seen with small telescopes, but I haven't been able to see it yet, Bill.
Huh.
And I'm still looking for it. I'm hoping I might see it tonight, but with the weather as bad as it's been very hard to keep up with things, including comets that are around. And I haven't found anything new in years.
We're speaking with Dr. David Levy, who says he hasn't found anything new in years, but he is not giving up because we need him to reach 24. So that makes my introduction even easier. Just
yeah,
say he's got
two
dozen under his belt.
Yeah, we need to do that. That will shorten your introduction
yes.
by a few seconds.
How is your autobiography coming? When is that to be published?
It's supposed to be published in a couple of months. It's being published by the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada.
Wow.
And all being well, there will be a book launching in Toronto at the annual General Assembly. And I just got a letter last night from someone who's pretty, from the national president, who's pretty excited about it coming out. So I'm getting pretty interested in seeing this book come out. It's interesting, and it portrays the life of a person who has more passion for the night sky than anyone else that I've ever known, but less knowledge than a lot of people that I know. But maybe I make up for it with the passion. I hope so.
It's time for the David Levy quote of the month here on the Buckmaster Show on 10:30, The Voice. Go ahead, Dr. Levy.
Yeah, Senator Carl Schurz. I think I've said this before a few months ago, but Senator Carl Schurz was a United States senator at the time of the start of the Civil War. And he was giving a senatorial lecture in Faneuil Hall in Boston, a place that I have lectured at more recently. It's a very ancient lecture hall, and it still is used for lectures and things in Boston. And he, realizing that the Civil War was imminent, He faced his audience and he said these words: "Ideals are like stars. You will not succeed in touching them with your hands. But like the seafaring man on the desert of waters, you choose them as your guides, and following them, you will reach your destiny."
Very nice.
I hope that I will reach my destiny. I hope there may be another comet or two left, but even if not, it is the search that is so important for this particular observer.
David Levy, I've talked before here on our visits over the years that I love the constellation Orion the Hunter.
Yeah.
And I think Orion is directly south at about 8:30 tonight. And of course, we think of Orion as a holiday season constellation, but pretty much year round at particular times in southern Arizona, correct?
Pretty much. It's not around much in the summertime, but it goes away and it sets in the west early in the evening in late May, and then starts coming back in the east in October or November. But I'm looking right now at a couple of very interesting things that can be seen in Orion. There is, of course, the Great Nebula, which is a misty spot with the naked eye, and with even a small telescope, it's magnificent. There is the Horsehead Nebula that really looks like a horse's head in Orion. And also, on the night of the Geminid meteors last year, I photographed what I believe is a bright meteor going through Orion, but it was not a Geminid. It was a sporadic meteor that was kind of heading straight at us, and it just exploded as a bolide, and you can see it as a bright star just in that field and none of the others.
So Orion, on Orion's right shoulder, is really kind of a super giant red star, correct?
Yes, Betelgeuse.
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 Is that like, or Beetlejuice, or no?
Or Betelgeuse, although it has nothing to do with juice for beetles, but
yeah.
I thought that was the left shoulder.
Oh, okay.
Let me think. I think that's the left shoulder.
Okay.
The lower right, I think, is Rigel. And Rigel is a wonderful little bright star. And both of these are very, very massive suns that are shining at about the same distance from us, about 1,500 light years. Betelgeuse is going to become a supernova someday. It's going to just collapse and then explode. And if you want to see what a supernova looks like when it's only 1,500 light years away, it could be as bright as the quarter moon.
All right.
But it's not going to be tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hope not. All right. Dr. David Levy, always a pleasure. My very best to your lovely wife, Wendy. Hope you guys have a great month, and we're already on the schedule for March, so thank you.
Yes, it is. Okay, thanks a lot. Speak with you next month.
All right, Dr. David Levy, the world-renowned comet discoverer on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk, this portion of Buckmaster presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's just a three-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find the complete listing of the many great places to stay, and there's some fine accommodations in the Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico area. And then we send so many of our listeners. In fact, one of my Facebook friends was going over there, I think, this weekend. So we send a lot of folks over there, and it's unanimous. When they come back, they say, "Bill, I had no idea this was such a beautiful area of the southwestern United States," and really in Tucson's own backyard. That's southwestnewmexico.org. We're coming up on the halfway point of the Buckmaster Show Thursday edition. Quick promo about the Friday Focus interview tomorrow. State Senator Randy Freese, who represents the Tucson area, he's very influential up at the State Senate. He is the Senate Minority Leader. We've got a ton of legislative things to talk with Senator Freese about. And on the roundtable, we'll have Dylan Smith, the TucsonSentinel.com, and Joe Ferguson, political writer from the Arizona Daily Star. It's exactly 12:30 in Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
10:30, The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster, and it's time for our CEO interview series presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated, a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. Sun Corridor, Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region, creating a ton of jobs and a lot of money into our economy. $24.8 billion with 162 company locates and expansions supporting nearly 48,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com. Joining me on the live line, Dr. Clint Kuntz, a doctor of behavioral health. Dr. Kuntz is the chief executive officer of MHC Healthcare, which offers 15 locations across the Tucson Valley, Catalina, Picture Rocks, and Marana. Dr. Kuntz, how are you, sir?
Good. How are you doing, Bill? Thank you for having me on.
Doing very well. Tell me a little bit about the evolution of MHC. What's the genesis of this corporation?
So, excuse me, I got had a little bit of a cold, so I'll try not to cough in anybody's ear. MHC is the oldest community health center in Arizona. We started in 1957 up in Marana in the cotton fields. So the women at the Marana Christian Church saw a need for migrant farm workers and a lack of health care, and the church there started providing medical services out in the cotton fields of Marana. And from that, MHC has kind of grown and evolved over the years and grown to the network that it is now, 15 current health centers serving all of Pima County, employing about 600 people and serving 60,000 patients.
So the MHC stands really for your original roots, Marana Healthcare Center.
Yeah, it does. We've tried to keep true to our roots, the Marana Health Center, and most people still know us by that name, but we've kind of tried to brand ourselves a little better since we're serving all of Pima County and didn't want to pigeonhole that Marana name, but it's kind of been a struggle changing from Marana Health Center to MHC Healthcare.
What is your approach? What's your mission as you approach the healthcare field, Dr. Kuntz? What's the MHC approach to healthcare?
Yeah, so we take a really different approach to healthcare than most organizations or people do. Our approach is a whole person approach, and not really just medical, but also behavioral health and dental services. So we believe in treating the whole patient, not just a part of the patient. By that, a good example is if you have diabetes. Normally, if you go to your doctor, your primary care physician, they're going to treat your diabetes, try to get your blood sugars under control. Our approach is also that, but also we try to treat what's causing you to not be able to take care of your diabetes. And by that, I mean over 80% of the diabetic patients are also depressed, either now or will be in the future. So if you're depressed, you're not going to take your insulin, you're not going to eat right, you're not going to take care of yourself, your diabetes is going to get worse, which in turn makes your depression worse. So it's a never-ending cycle. So we try to treat the diabetes and the depression in that case, to treat the whole patient.
Dr. Kuntz, you're in an arena of healthcare that's so competitive. What challenges are you facing with MHC?
Wow, yeah, there is a lot of challenges in healthcare today, not just for us, but as a whole. But the largest one we're seeing, and I think as a healthcare industry as a whole, is our workforce shortages, finding enough healthcare providers. And it's not just the doctors. It's also therapists, behavioral health professionals, dentists, support staff, nurses, the executives to help run the organization. There's just a huge shortage in the healthcare market today. The other big challenge we're facing is that everybody's heard about, you know, the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, and health insurance, and how the uninsured rate's gone down. But what most people don't realize is health insurance doesn't equal health care. And by that I mean just because you have health insurance doesn't mean you're going to have access to health care. If we don't have the workforce to see everybody, I can insure everybody today, but I can't take care of them. So I need the workforce to take care of them. And also, people still need to be able to afford their care, even if they have health insurance.
We're speaking with Dr. Clint Kuntz. Dr. Kuntz has a doctor of behavioral health. He's the chief executive officer at MHC Healthcare. We haven't talked here yet with you on our CEO interview series presented by Sun Corridor about mental health services. What can you offer in that arena, sir?
So we offer a full range of behavioral health services, from therapy to full family therapy, full individual. We also have medication, psychiatrist, psychologist, you name it. We have it available for our patients, groups, domestic violence treatment, pretty much anything you can imagine around behavioral health we have available at six of our locations across Pima County.
Tell me a little bit about, in that 60-year history, how the business has evolved. You've grown really with our area. What is your kind of your growth plan? What is your path to prosperity, Dr. Kuntz?
So our growth plan is to keep just meeting the needs of the community. So we have no defined strategy as far as saying we're going to grow 10% this year, 10% next year, 10% the year after that.
Mm-hmm.
Our growth model has been, what does the community need and how can we meet that need? And we grow to meet that need. And that growth has led to incredible growth on our side, but it's been more organic growth, and we're meeting the community's needs to meet the needs, not to grow just to grow. So it's a little different approach.
Tell me a little bit about, and tell our listeners a little bit about your background. Why did you get into the behavioral health area, Dr. Koontz?
Well, I originally started in IT. I was working in IT and business and kind of got suckered into the whole healthcare environment through the IT side many years ago and started working there and really got involved with the operations side and started working more and more and became a COO of a health center and then decided, well, if I'm going to be run, and then became CEO and decided, well, if I'm going to run a health center, I better get some more training in that clinical side. So I went and got my doctor of behavioral health. And now I kind of have experience from private industry, healthcare, and have pulled it all together to run, I think, a successful way to deliver healthcare to everyone.
How about as an economic development driver for our community? How does MHC fit into the Sun Corridor picture?
Yeah, so we currently employ about 600 people, mm-hmm. and each year we're adding 50 to 100 employees, so we're growing quite fast, and most of those jobs are high-paying, good jobs. They're not minimum wage jobs. They're very well-paying jobs, professional jobs with career paths. So most of our employees stay with us long-term and can develop and keep growing here, which then allows us to reinvest back into the community. Through just our economic investment, we have a couple $100 million impact each year just in our local communities.
How about the physician and nurse shortage that many areas across the country are experiencing right now? Is that impacting the MHC model?
Oh, absolutely. We recruit not just locally, but statewide, nationwide, and actually even internationally to get physicians. And we do that to make sure that we can get the physicians that we need and also that we can find committed, good physicians. So we don't just take every physician who wants to come work with us. We vet them and make sure that they're high-quality physicians. So that makes it even more difficult when there's already a shortage.
Where should folks who are interested in taking a look at your services and what you provide, what would be the next step for them? Where could they go, Dr. Koontz, to find more information about the company?
Yeah, the first place to start would probably be on our website, mhchealthcare.org. It has lots of information about our organization, each site, our services available, and how to contact us through our main number.
Dr. Clint Koontz, Director of Behavioral Health and the Chief Executive Officer at MHC Healthcare, been in the business, the company, 60 years, starting in Marana, has a very rich heritage. Dr. Koontz, I appreciate the time. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the time for being on here as well.
For more information about Sun Corridor, visit suncorridorinc.com as we continue with our CEO interview series on The Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Coming up next, the consular is in the house. Don Luce is coming up next on The Buckmaster Show. Lots to talk about on the legislative front and the legal implications of some very important proposed legislation going on in Phoenix right now. We're coming up on 1244. I'm Buckmaster. Be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Hansen, and we're excited to announce that our annual Travel Showcase has a new location, new presentations, and exciting new offers. Sunday, February 24th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Hilton El Conquistador, we'll have over 40 travel representatives offering a presentation and your chance to learn about where they go, who they are, and their exciting offers. I will also be presenting an unfiltered look at travel topics, so you do not want to miss the 2019 Travel Showcase from Bon Voyage.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We're joined in studio with attorney Don Luce of Luce Law with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. He's the author of two very popular books on Arizona law, Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, both books now in their second printing. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks.
It's always a pleasure to see you. This story has been getting a lot of publicity about a Republican move, primarily the Republicans in the Senate voting yesterday to block those who get those early ballots from, this would stop them from taking the early ballots and simply dropping them off on election day. What's this all about?
All right. As you pointed out, this is a proposal, Senate Bill 1046, which would prohibit the dropping off of early ballots at the polling station on election day. So just to put some context to this and provide background, as we've discussed on other previous shows, there is a prohibition against harvesting these early ballots. In other words, I, because I'm not related to you, could not come by your house and pick up your early ballot and deliver it to the polling station. That's illegal.
I couldn't call you and say, Don, you're going to be in the neighborhood. Would you pick up my ballot? Just drop it off for me.
Cannot. And if you were to do that, and if I were to cooperate, then we'd both get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So that's illegal. This proposal would essentially extend that same type of concept to dropping the ballot off. Even if it was the person casting the vote, dropping it off at the polling station on election day. Now, the opponents of this measure say...
Primarily the Democrats.
Right.
Yeah.
They say, look, it's pretty obvious why you want this to... get passed, and that is because the late votes tend to favor Democratic candidates. And as we've seen in a recent local election, in fact, the last votes counted tended to be primarily Democratic. So they're saying, look, you're targeting a group of voters, which is illegal. The proponents of the measure say no. That isn't the purpose of this bill. The purpose of this bill is to make sure that we have faster election results, because when you drop off your early ballots at the polling station on election day, it takes longer for us to count those ballots than if you were to stand in line and cast your votes with the machines. And therefore, in some cases, we can't predict the winner of the race until several days or weeks after the election ends, and that's not fair to the voters, and it undermines the confidence in the voting system. So therefore, this is a necessary measure to make sure that we get results timely and restore confidence to the system.
But the Democrats would contend that this is disenfranchising voters, you know, expediting, getting the early or getting the vote up to let the public know who won is going to be at the expense of some people who are going to be disenfranchised.
I believe that's entirely correct. I think it's also important to note that when the ballot harvesting issue was in the headlines, the proponents of the prohibition said, look, we need this because we need to prevent voter fraud. The opponents of this measure, which would prohibit dropping the ballots off at the polling station, say there's no voter fraud involved, and the proponents say, well, that's right, but it's for a different reason. It's so that we know what the election results are either on election day or very close thereto.
If this were to pass, could you foresee going to a higher court on a matter like this?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and I think what we're seeing, Bill, in Arizona especially, is the use of the judicial branch to essentially make the rules. The legislature has, in other instances, filed lawsuits against the state of Arizona regarding legislation that itself has passed. One of the cases was headline news this week. It was brought by 32 Democrats against the state of Arizona regarding legislation that had been proposed in the legislature. So in one sense, it's the plaintiff is suing itself, but in a real practical sense, the legislation had been proposed by Republicans, and the Democrats, who were the plaintiffs in the litigation, were suing to prevent the legislation from taking effect. So we're seeing the use of the courts quite frequently in areas like this where there's such a divide.
Don Luce is with us. Don Luce is the legal contributor to the Buckmaster Show. You're on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. There's another item, Don, I want to go over with you. This is a proposal that would hike Arizona's tax on tobacco products. The extra money that would come in would go for scholarships. What's at the heart of this, Don Luce?
All right. So this is Senate Concurrent Resolution 1026. It would, if passed, require that this particular measure be put on the 2020 ballot for voter approval. So it would be a legislative initiative. But at the heart of it is an increase in the tax on tobacco products from the current $2 a pack tax to $3.50 per pack. I thought it was interesting that Arizona is already one of the top 15 states in terms of the amount of tax that it places on tobacco products. If this initiative is passed, Arizona will be in the top 10, I think. Which
that'd be quite a boost in revenue, going up a buck and a half.
Oh my goodness! we're talking about potentially $85 million a year in additional monies for college scholarships, if in fact this revenue is generated from this new tax proposal. Now, some other things about this proposal that I also thought were interesting was, only about 16% of adults actually smoke.
Right.
Okay, so it's a small percentage. You have what essentially amounts to, I haven't done the math, but it's probably a 70% hike in the tax on cigarettes and other tobacco products. So that would include cigars and chewing tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
And that entire group amounts to less than one out of every five people, five adults.
Mm-hmm.
So the money that's collected from that small group, you know, relatively speaking, would then be used to fund scholarships, which would generate an additional potentially $85 million a year. That's a huge amount of money for a very large group of prospective beneficiaries. Coming from a very small group of people who would see an additional $1.50 on their product purchase. There's another interesting aspect of this, I think, and that is the proposal is now for the first time contemplating a tax on vaping, which,
right,
as you know,
right,
is very popular, especially among younger people. The proposal would impose a levy on any vaping products equal to 73% of the wholesale price. So if you bought a vaping product in the state of Arizona, in addition to whatever price you would pay for it, you would pay an additional 73% in tax.
Vaping, very controversial from a health point of view, as we talked about here Tuesday on the program with Dr. Ray Woosley. Let's take Roberta now on the live line at 790-2040 on 1030 The Voice. Go ahead, Roberta. You're with Don Luce.
Thank you.
Hello, Roberta.
Hi, with Attorney Luce. If they pass that law on
tobacco,
early ballots.
Oh, early ballots.
On the early ballots, and I mail mine in, and it gets in on the last day. Will it be counted?
Yes, the proposal does not affect the current system, which is called vote by mail. But the proponents say, hey, look, it's called vote by mail for a reason. You need to mail it back. So as long as you mail it back, you're fine. But under this proposal, if you didn't mail it back but decided to drop it off on election day, they would not count your ballot if you dropped it off. You would have to actually stand in line and cast a ballot in order for it to count. You couldn't bring your early ballot to the polling place and drop it off like you currently can. So that's the proposed change. Thank you, Roberta.
Attorney Don Luce with us. Law offices, Luce Law offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Got about a minute left. Wanted to carve out a little time to talk about the updated book, Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don Luce, is there quite a percentage of people, is it your guess, in Arizona that have not made their last wishes known?
Oh, I think the majority. I see people every day who the first thing they say to me is, I don't know why we waited so long. And I always give them the same answer. Well, you haven't waited too long. You're still here. And then we talk about the things that might benefit them and also their heirs upon their passing. And so, yes, I'm surprised by the number of people who haven't planned for incapacity, disability, or wealth transition on death.
And I understand where some of these people may be coming from. It's a subject, when you're talking about your own mortality, it's not an easy one to address. But what might be a little easier than what people realize is it's not that difficult once you get in and start talking to someone about their final wishes.
Well, as you mentioned, a lot of people do have difficulty talking about death and talking about situations where they wouldn't be able to make their own decisions because of a disability or because they're mentally incompetent, which is a reality, but we need to face it. Most people, though, once they get into it, they're like, wow, I didn't realize it was this easy.
Don Luce, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books available on Amazon and both in their second printing. Don, it's always a pleasure.
My pleasure, Bill. Thank
Thanks
you.
Thanks a lot. It's 1030 The Voice. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Steve Rivera, Eye on the Ball, his sports show, very popular sports show now here on 1030 The Voice. It's coming up next. On behalf of Attorney Don Luce, my great producer-engineer Bob Dio, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.